This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel Goys. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Alice.
We are the Maisel Goys.
Hello.
Look at us.
Look at us. Who would have thought?
We made it. Not me.
Not me.
Truly. This is, we're making it work. What a funny little record schedule for season three.
I know.
That I think does...
You didn't want to do it.
What? That's my retraction.
Hey, it's okay that you didn't want to record this anymore.
I wanted to do... Yes, I did. No, I fully did. I just said maybe we combine the episodes, which we're just kind of doing anyway on like our record days.
Yeah.
To make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, like, to make it a little bit.
But like Mrs. Maisel yourself, you're traveling all around. You're in Canada right now. Coming back and then fitting these in when you come back.
But I have more time than she has, for real.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you been filling it?
What?
Have you been filling the time? No, come on.
Jesus, Kevin.
No, I just...
Let's introduce the guests. It's already starting with
you. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
No.
Talk about your relationship to pornography. This is the way Kevin said it earlier. I have a weird relationship to pornography. Okay. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my... Well, gonna have to explain myself to our guest. So let's introduce her right now. Friends and folks, you may remember her. You must remember this, our guest in the very first season of Gilmore Guys.
Don't do this to me.
What was it called? Like Rory's Prom or something? I don't even remember that show.
109,
Rory's
right?
Christening.
It was 109. She's a comedian. She's an actress. You can catch her in Into the Dark, My Valentine, a new movie on Hulu. Sorry, I got Netflix on the mind. Friends and folks, give it the hell up for Anna Lore. Anna Lore.
Anna Lore.
Anna Lore. Are you shitting me?
Let's try it again.
Ladies and gentlemen. Nope. Not inclusive. Friends and folks.
Friends and folks.
She's a comedian.
She's a comedian.
She's an actress.
And an actress.
She was on the infamous 109 of Gilmore Guys 6 years ago.
Rory's christening episode.
It was Rory's bar mitzvah.
Rory's bar mitzvah.
She's an actress that you can catch in the new Hulu movie,
Hulu.
Into the Dark, My Valentine.
That's going to be good.
She's our Valentine for this episode. Give it the hell up for Anna Lore.
Yay! I'm so excited to be here.
I cannot believe.
What a long time.
I said lore. I've known you for more than half a decade. Let that sink in.
Can I tell you, the thing is that I've never corrected you on it because I have to correct people on my first name all the time I let the last name go.
Yeah, but you know what? You know someone, for 6 years you've known someone and you feel like you've built up the relationship capital to be like, hey buddy, it's Lori.
I know, you're right.
It's okay.
Right. It's Anna Lore is like based on like a traditional German name that's Hannelore. So
truly?
It's like, yeah, and Lore is my aunt's name and my great aunt's name.
Do you know what the meaning of the names are?
No, I have no idea. Mm.
So what I would do in your case and with the Kevin T. Porter is I would savor the moment that getting to correct somebody who's known me for 6 years. Just and you did. You chose to do it on the recording. Which is great.
Have I mispronounced your name in like
But I would do it in front
podcasts?
Of a girl he's trying to flirt with or something like, oh, you don't know how to pronounce my name? It's so funny. It's Lori. Anyway, nice to meet you. Yeah, Kevin's a great guy.
I hate correcting people on it.
I love it.
I feel so self-conscious because my first name is Anna, spelled like Anna. Mm-hmm. And so it's already a battle just to get that one in.
I don't know what kind of white woman you are, because white women love correcting people.
I know. No, I like I correcting think everyone people likes on like correcting math everybody. And science.
I think it transcends gender and race. Oh. Math and science.
The great uniter, folks. Kevin T. Porter.
All of God's children are cancelable on some level. Right? Anna, what's your relationship with the marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
It's one of those shows that my mom's like, you should be on that. Mm. You know what I mean?
It is one of those shows, isn't it?
I feel your pain.
Yeah.
You should be on that.
Even my mom is like, I like that Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She tries to get my father to watch.
I always, whenever I have relatives say things like, Judy, that movie Judy, why weren't you in that? I'll always say the same thing. They didn't give me enough money.
Do you really say that?
Because they don't understand anything else.
They think they believe you? Do they think that's sincere?
I don't talk to anybody in my family. That was all a lie.
Oh, wow. What is sincerity in 2020?
Thank you.
It makes you think?
I'm going to be 100% sincere in 2020.
I want to be more sincere than insincere.
In fact, I'm not going to take a single joke. If someone is sarcastic or does a joke to me, I'm going to be like, what do you mean?
But oh, you boy. Can make,
that's,
whoa.
You're going to be a lot.
I'm going to be really
sincere. Can you start after this recording?
You can make sincere jokes, though. That's the key that unlocks the code, man.
No, Kevin, you can make them, but no one laughs at them.
Right.
For instance, in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, have you ever laughed at one of her stand-up jokes?
Hell yes, every time.
I have to go to the bath. I have to wear diapers. Mm-hmm. To be honest, because I'm laughing so hard that I generally
hours.
I'll just pee.
Yeah,
you know.
Well,
and I will deprive myself of liquids for a full 7 hours before.
Here's a joke she makes in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to get everything off my chest. I have to talk about sex and men, and sex with men, and sex with sexy men.
Oh, I believe Anna. We do have a clip, and it will be scored as per Anthony Trolley law.
I know I've talked a lot about my parents tonight, but that's just because. In Florida. Can you feel it? They're coming to my show tomorrow, so I need to get all this out of my system tonight. Tonight, I can talk about sex and men and sex with men and sexy men and sex with sexy men. But tomorrow, that's all off limits because my parents don't know I'm not a virgin. I think my two kids might have been a tickle. I'm amazed that those are my cobbler's apprentices story has held up for so long. Think that when I got divorced, it made me a virgin all over again. Like, the judge said, I grant you divorce and restore everything up your skirt to its original condition.
That was a Seinfeld act out, for real, though. You know what I mean? Like, I restored everything to its original condition.
Like the doctor goes up into my skirt and goes, there you go. I have restored everything to your original condition.
Original condition. With my 17-year-old girlfriend.
I like things that are religion. That's why I'm dating a 17-year-old
girl. Kevin, I think I learned that at your house. I think someone read a tweet that was like, imagine it's the first day of class or something. It was like, you know, you get out of eighth period and everyone goes outside to go home and your friend's boyfriend is there to get her. It's 38-year-old comedian Jerry Seinfeld.
Unbelievable.
Jesus Christ.
It's one of those things, unfortunately, you know, and I think maybe cancel culture has gone too far.
Right.
But it's one of those things.
I agree.
And PC culture is the number one problem in this country.
Right.
And that's what Joker was about.
It goes PC culture,
cancel culture,
coronavirus.
And then pop culture.
Yeah.
And then coronavirus. Yeah. And then coronas. For the listener at home, Anna is decked out in period garb. She's got a headband on, striped gray pants.
Covered
and
in period blood.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
Period blood. She's covered in
period blood. It's period blood in that it's blood from the 1960s. Not blood from
Kevin, are you saying
that.
I'm 60 years old?
No, I'm saying you're dressed
you're
the
part. You're saying my blood is from the 1960s? You don't look like a day over 59.
Do you like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? Yes or no?
Yeah, I love Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Awesome.
I think it's a great TV show. It took me a minute to sort of get into the vibe of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a different
rhythm.
I like it for different reasons than I like other TV shows. Like,
I get that.
It's not
go off
laugh out loud funny to me. And I was like, why would we watch this show about a comedian that's like not making me actual laugh? But then
that was Masters of None.
The relationships are just so good. Mm-hmm. And like everyone's doing their part. So the only person that's like maybe didn't watch the show before he auditioned was
Ethan.
Ben, right? Who does he play? Yeah, right? The tall one. The Chuck. What's his name?
Oh, Zachary Levi, Dr. Shazam, Benjamin. Yeah.
That scene with, have you guys done the episode with the scene where the mom goes into the hospital?
Oh, not yet. I don't believe. I think that's coming on Saturday. Wait, have you watched ahead?
Saturday? No, I haven't. I've only watched up till the next two that we're recording today.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. So Alice has not seen 307 or 308.
I'm super ignorant.
So you're all in. All in on Maisel.
I'm all in on Maisel.
Hell yeah.
Cool. I feel the same way. Like, I'm into the characters. I was into the parents' characters, and then that dropped off.
Your interest in them?
Like, my interest in them because they stopped writing their anything interesting too. For them.
Yeah, what happened? And also, when the thing that was uninteresting that I think they did is they were like, oh, we need to make them into a unit, and everything they do and all their arcs are unit now.
Yeah.
It's so much more interesting when he's going through his thing and she's going. And they do it a little bit in season three, right, when she goes
to,
like,
unexplaining. That's a really elegant way of saying that.
Just looking for a little honesty. Well, this episode is 305. It's comedy or cabbage. It's written and directed by Amy Sherman-Palladino. The Amazon Prime synopsis is Midge runs into an old friend in Miami. Abe grows frustrated with his beatnik friends while Rose reaches her breaking point with Shirley.
Oh my gosh.
Even
it's describing the audience.
It's exhausting.
I know.
What is that?
It's like the description of what the parents are going through is like, basically, they are so sick and tired of dealing with the stuff that's going on in their lives. It's like, yeah, so is the audience.
And now it's time for a segment we do every episode, Anna. A segment we call
12 o'clock rock, we're gonna
pop
around
the culture
tonight.
It always gets Alice. Pop around the culture.
A culture.
We take every pop culture reference in the episode, put them in a supercut. This is 305.
The comparison to William Frawley is particularly inspired.
Bella Abzug and Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Gollum?
That's him.
And Cary Grant as her new husband.
Who are you, Willie Loman?
The rose tattoo was a piece of overwrought substandard melodrama.
It was just recorded by Mr. Frank Sinatra.
Trotsky used the same font in his earliest pamphlets.
Hey, that's Tennessee Williams. Tennessee!
Screw you.
Screw you.
Yeah, the Tennessee Williams.
Tennessee!
Screw you, Bruce.
Strange.
So the only thing I can think of from, like, I was like, I've never seen Miami After Dark. I'm assuming that's based on like a show.
It's based on the Hugh Hefner show that was on at the time.
So I'm assuming that it's not actually Tennessee Williams. It's a, like, even in the world of Mrs. Maisel, it's someone off
He's
screen
pretending
to be Tennessee Williams for the bit.
That's the thing about this show. They don't make it clear.
Yeah, like, because I think that's real Zsa Zsa Gabor,
right?
That he's sitting next to.
The voice to me sounds like they're like, oh yeah, you know, this one writer can do a really good Tennessee Williams.
Yes.
So let's do a bit with him where he does his Tennessee Williams impression, you know? Because otherwise, why wouldn't they just show him?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have somebody be Tennessee Williams? Because clearly that
And so I'm assuming on the Hugh Hefner show or whatever they're mimicking,
it was Playboy's Penthouse was the name of the actual show. And it was hosted by Hugh Hefner, and he was like doing such a little dreamy part of that, of this episode where you just are in the show.
I love it.
For an extended time. I know. I was really into it.
Yeah.
Like the thing, everything from the moment her and Bruce go off.
Yeah. It's just, I could watch. Oh, okay. I know we're going to get into it, but like, oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So William Frawley, that's Fred from I Love Lucy. So she's saying someone's hog looks like Fred from I Love Lucy. Okay, and that joke she's writing at the bar.
Hey, what is... He says... He tells her that all she needs is a social disease and she's a road comic.
Yes.
Is that an STD? A social disease?
Yeah, that sounded like an innuendo for that.
Okay. But I was like... Because also I've heard like having a social disease as like someone who's just not good socially.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean?
So yeah.
I
was
like, me paying the dog at the party.
It sounds like a the name of like a pop punk band.
Yes, we are social disease.
2, 3, 4.
Oh, yeah.
All you need
all
is love.
Disease.
And this is Lord of the Rings, right?
Gollum. That's him.
Thank you. I was gonna say that.
Yeah.
Gollum.
Right. I mean, you have to imagine Lord of the Rings just came out like 10 years ago.
In their world.
Or in 5 years ago, whatever it was in their timeline.
But they weren't. Was it the Harry
books?
Potter?
When did the books come out?
The books. That's
no,
what I'm
the
saying.
Movies.
The books. The movies with Elijah Wood.
When did the Lord
Wood.
Of the Rings books come out?
The 50s.
The 50s. And were they the Harry Potter of their time?
Oh, we're finding another gap in honest homeschool education.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. No, the gaps are glaring.
You guys, I don't know where Maine is. Like, I don't know anything.
Do you know sectionally where it is? I sound like Kermit.
Like,
intersectionality is very important to me.
Kevin, I'm an actor and I'm a painter and I have.
You're such a good painter.
I can knit and I can embroider. Mm-hmm. I can do so many things except for math, science, geography.
That's not true. You're getting better at those things.
Yeah, but how many of those things do you need for Instagram?
That's right. None of them.
Do you know what I mean?
And also, also, if you just get cuter, you don't have to be smart or interesting.
I found that to be true.
Ew, that's not what I want. It's not what I want. Speaking of cute, you know what the cutest thing on this show was? Not the hottest or horniest thing, but the cutest scene on this episode was...
No. Yep, Susie, agreeing.
Fuck you.
Agreeing.
You won't.
I swear I'll catch
no, you.
You
won't.
I will.
You're lying.
Susie, just jump.
You're
you'll
lying.
You're acting like a four-year-old.
You're acting like a four-year-old.
Just jump.
I
you'll
love
jump
it.
You jump.
All this stuff. All the Susie.
You're acting like a four-year-old.
Learning how to swim montage. It's incredible.
If the pace of Mrs. Maisel was like if you did the YouTube speed like 25% slower, it would be unwatchable, I think. Like if you slowed it down just a little bit, it would be like,
it
what?
Would be This Is Us.
Yeah.
With Sterling K. Brown.
Hey. Oh my God. The connections, the red
connections
string.
The connections are rife.
The red string in the Maisel Goy's studio.
Charlie Day gif. But their relationship was so tender and so sweet and so like sisterly and almost like a mentor mentee like in this stuff. And to see Susie vulnerable in such a cute way with all of this.
Susie, you're doing it!
Fuck, 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 fuck! Who peed this fool? Well, at least you're honest.
You're doing great! Keep going!
Turn me around.
And then swimming back to like...
Swimming back, yeah,
punch
together.
Her, I guess.
Turn me around.
And that leads to that nice conversation when she's fully sunburned and they're walking down the beach and Midge is giving her some tips of how to deal with Sophie.
Can I give you some advice?
Stay out of the sun.
No, some real advice about Sophie. You need to be strong.
What are you talking about?
Sophie is a bully. A bully only responds to other bullies.
Where'd you learn that? On the mean streets of the Upper West Side?
She hired you to guide her the way you guide me. You don't pull any punches with me. Sometimes I wish you would. Sometimes I think, my God, if only Susie wouldn't mention every single thing that I did wrong. Every joke I missed, every laugh I jumped, every town I pronounced wrong.
Hoboken, how hard is that?
But you don't let up. And you don't back down and you don't lie to me. You're tough. You're tough with me. You have to be tough with Sophie.
Okay. You're right. I'll be tough. Ow. Ow. Ow.
And I like that as an evolution from where they started, too, in this season of her being petty about her attention being divided between her and
it's
Sophie.
Really, yeah. It's like a redeemable Midge moment, which are and very much needed. So, yeah.
What a nice evolution of their relationship.
Yeah.
Sophie, on the other hand, they have fully just made into an invalid.
I don't know. I'm kind of still here for her, but whatever.
Really? I don't like that. For some reason, with some kinds of characters, I don't like all comedy predicated on this person has no clue what's going on.
Then you shouldn't be watching an Amy Sherman comedy show.
Okay.
What they do with Sophie in like the scene... The bathtub phone call?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys already do that? What
episode? Yeah, that was like last episode.
When you binge something, like all concept of separate episodes or even timelines are just completely gone. That scene's brilliant. Everything once we start to get into the show going up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's all coming next. Okay.
Hey.
I'm sorry. No, I forgot. Because what is there? There's a, it's the preview in this episode, right?
Yeah.
Or it's just a rehearsal.
It's the rehearsal where they're going through.
She's
asking for
a
stage and they just have like tape on the.
And this is what I was kind of trying to make this point. Like, I don't know. Like, there's something about like, she has wanted to prove that she's an actor, like, for a long time, a real actor, and she can't do it, and she's freaking out, and she's like, where's the stage? This isn't what I thought it would be like. I don't know. I feel like somebody who's had a pretty easygoing last 20 years of their career just doing the same thing over and over and over again would have a rude awakening.
Is this a subtweet?
Oh, no. Oh, it should be. Why am I... I hate missing an opportunity to subtweet.
It sounds like it's a subtweet for sure.
I hate missing an opportunity to subtweet. Fuck. Ugh. Well, add one in later.
Well, take it again.
Take it again. Go from the top. Think of somebody you hate.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm trying to justify for Susie to be... Or not, to Sophie to be such a fucking stupid nightmare.
Do you guys think... Here's the only celebrity doppelganger I've gotten more than once. Cary Elwes. Do you think I look like him? Oh, not present guy? Day.
Not present day.
Not present day.
How are you saying his last name?
Cary Elwes.
It's Covfefe.
Covfefe.
Cary Covfefe?
Elwes?
Is it Elwes? Or is it Eels?
I've never said it.
It has a W in it.
It's E-L...
W-E-S.
E-L-W-E-S. So is it Elwes? Is it Cary Elwes?
I've always said Elwes, but... I have no
That's
idea.
That's probably right. No, I'm probably being stupid. I
mispronounced your last stupid. Name.
I see it.
No, I was homeschooled. I know what I am. You
I see it? It?
You see that I'm stupid?
I love saying
I see that you're stupid.
See it?
Yeah, no, I see it now that you're saying it.
You
yeah.
see the dum-dum running out of your nose and ears?
Oh my God, yeah, you're so dumb. I see it now.
Wow, now that I'm looking at you, Kevin,
wait
you're
a minute.
Dumb.
That's a fake computer.
What? No. No.
Kevin's learning top.
Fun. He goes, Bloomberg. I mean, not current
Bloomberg.
Day Cary, but like freaking, like this era, maybe?
Yeah.
No?
I see it.
Kind of.
I see it.
A little bit.
Maybe you should think
it.
About that hair. Let me see his hair in that picture. That's really funny. So much.
So the Sophie thing is just basically an opportunity for Susie to be a rock star manager and
yeah,
to be able
basically.
To be like competent. And you see her getting better and better at it with each interaction.
Local commercials. I love that scene. You don't have it for local commercials.
In the bathroom.
I know.
That's
it's so good.
Good.
I didn't realize that Jane Lynch is a full-on series regular on this show. No,
that's what's weird,
three.
Right? Like, why yeah. would you not? Why would you not opt out and get the fucking guest fee?
Does she
top a show?
Wait,
baby.
Do you think it? No, no. I mean, she's probably getting paid more now, right?
As a series reg.
As a series reg, yeah. She could probably get paid for episodes she's not even in. I would imagine.
I don't know. You can negotiate a pretty hefty fee.
Well, let's break it down, gang. You're both members of SAG.
I got paid $15,000 for 30 seconds on Silicon Valley season 2.
Okay.
Season 3.
Here's what I said in my dating profile.
To someone with tits to talk to.
What was it?
To someone with tits to talk to.
That's how I feel, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not what
Eliza
I said.
Eliza Weil.
I promise.
Yeah, that's who you look like.
I do. I love
I look that. Like Eliza Weil? No, Kristen Wiig looks like
I
Eliza
love
Weil.
That scene.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, this whole thing.
That whole scene is great.
So it's
and she's like, what? Men will hurt you?
Carol is charging
all
her
they do
room
is give me $20.
Okay. Carol's charging all the room service to her sugar daddy in the band on the trip. Invites
the
old
dream.
Mitch Mazel in.
The dream.
The dream. They're smoking indoors. One
would
of the
you
most fun things to
you're
do.
You're taken. Yeah. Would you do a sugar daddy situation?
Kevin, don't ask
Be
me
honest.
That on a recording.
Be honest. I'll Listen, edit it out.
I would do a sugar daddy situation if I didn't have to talk to them or interact with them at all.
Okay. I want to talk about that scene with Carol and Mitch.
You ever feel guilty? My dad was a traveling salesman. Gone 6 days out of 7. Nobody thought twice about that. What about your kids?
They live with their father while I'm gone.
Really? He takes the kids.
Yeah.
Shit. Is he single?
I don't think so.
Fuck, is
so
he single?
You're divorced.
Damn. Yes.
Who you got your eye on?
I don't have my eye on anyone.
What are you saving it for?
The Smithsonian. Gonna put it right next to the Star Spangled Banner.
You've had sex since your husband, right?
Well, yes. With my fiance.
Oh. Where is he?
He's back home wondering what happened.
What happened?
Shy Baldwin asked me to go on tour.
Okay. Well, here's the skinny on one night stands. If it's a guy in the band, keep it simple. No feelings. They can't think you're a girly girl. Go to their place, never yours. That way you can leave. And if the place is a slum, don't screw him. If his room's dirty, imagine how clean the rest of him is.
I want this listicle.
Have a gun?
I know, I was thinking I could have used
what?
This.
It's not necessary. Keys are a good weapon. High heels are great and they never see it coming. And most hotels have an on-site shoe repair. Sometimes, if the guy seems really sketchy, but I just gotta have some, I'll shove a matchbook cover in the door for an easier getaway. You look scared.
Gee, why would that be?
Sorry. I should've eased you into it. It's just... it gets lonely sometimes.
Sorry, I should've eased you into this thing I've been planning on telling you.
Stick it out. They get worn down. Tired of the travel, the food. Your clothes are never as clean as you want them to be. The pillows are either too hard or too soft. But, on the other hand, you see the world. You answer to no one. The audiences, when they're great, are really great. And you're not having to go to your grave not having done anything interesting.
Ugh.
Ooh-wee.
Having to go to your grave, not having done anything. It reminds me of this, there's this like, I don't know, mixed martial arts, female mixed martial arts
M&M. You're trying to say
MMA.
And she's like.
She has one shot.
She's like, I hate do nothing bitches. And I was thinking about that the other day.
Wait,
like,
Ronda Rousey said that.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I was like, it can't be Ronda Rousey because I know Alice isn't forgetting the name of the only famous female MMA fighter.
I'm not an MMA follower by any means, but I do remember the phrase "do nothing bitches" to describe
DMB.
A very
the space between.
There's like it feels like it's like a never ending way of like. Popularizing being a do-nothing bitch in our culture, and now it's being a Kardashian influencer or whatever, where it's just like that's your job is to just be like,
I like stuff,
you know.
But what's interesting about that is
still
I'm
doing
actually,
something.
Yeah, I would separate those two because the Kardashians are actually doing almost nothing. I mean, besides like just inventing businesses that are instantly successful.
Yeah,
like. I would say that's a little bit do nothing, but I actually know people who are influencers and it's fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
It's so much work to like be like reaching, like it's
but
a lot
I think
of
the image of it though, right? Has to be I'm not busy. I'm like,
yeah, it's
I'm unbothered. I'm just like on the beach and like, whoops,
yeah.
Like, oh, or whatever.
Yeah, but then you watch them do it and you're like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
It's picture.
Yeah.
Oh, I recommend that Instagram account, Influencers in the Wild.
Oh, I watched that Instagram account.
This is like
account.
Pictures of people getting their pictures
it's
taken.
It's videos of people doing the pose that then you would see on their
it's incredible
grid.
Whenever I see that I actually always give them a little smile because I feel like it's so vulnerable,
it is vulnerable
to be out there and have your picture taken, but I also know how nice it feels to have like a cute picture of yourself that you're gonna post and people are gonna enjoy.
Never
so I always try to be a little
never had one. I've taken hundreds of you. Well, hundreds.
I know, but you hide them in your weird room.
I know.
Your weird secret
my
room.
I have hundreds of
photos.
He has this
Alice.
False door in his house.
No, I know about it. Yeah, no, yeah. I know.
I love that. This is my every other scene I would say in this episode is my favorite scene in the episode. And this scene between Midge and Carol.
Midge and Peril.
Midge and Peril.
Midge and Peril.
Midge Ben and Peril.
I was going to say Midge and Paris because that's how I marked it on my computer, but. Just two women imparting wisdom from a life on the road, one scene a little bit more. Put Liza Wahl in everything. Put her in my dreams. Put her in my movies, my TV shows.
Put her
shows.
In your sprinkle a little bit on your cereal.
Yeah, just to get me going in the morning.
What I really liked about...
especially high in protein.
One of the things I love about Mrs. Maisel is that she is simultaneous. Like, she's just all parts of being a girl. And she's very, like, even though she's, like, bold for, like, the 60s and stuff, she's, like, they don't make it unrealistic. Like, when that guy comes to hit on her at the bar, the first guy, she's, like, you're very sweet, but no thank you. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's, like, fuck you. How dare you fucking look at me or talk to me. Mm-hmm. And then when she gets excited, she's, like, there's a staircase that you can walk down and show your dress about.
Yeah.
And she's, like, oh, you don't want to make fun of it. You want to walk down it. You know, like, that. Those elements of her that are like she loves clothes and like I just like that she's allowed to have all parts of being a woman because I feel like when we're like writing like strong female characters we're like well they can't like boys or clothes or like any of these other things because we're making her strong so she can't have any feminine like traditionally feminine attributes at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like a, it's an interesting breed of the ASP unapologeticness that marks her whole body of work and career, where it's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, what do you mean? Like, mm-hmm. it, like every part of it, but it's in the performance of traditional femininity in this show, where it's like, hey, and maybe on some level that would like dock you points with some people, but it's like, I still like pink and I still like dressing up this way and I still like, and that being...
Yeah, I mean, I also think the show offers the balance of having Susie there as a counterpoint, right? So, like, if there's... I do, that is a really good compliment. Like, the show offers, like, a couple interesting different ways of being, like, a relatable, the hero woman that you root for. You've got Susie, you've got Midge, and I will still argue a little bit, you've got Sophie.
Even though,
we're running out on that one. But like, yeah, like aging superstar version, you know, which I like. Aging superstar who's kind of clinging to fame and clinging to what her career means. I don't know. I'm still interested in that character and the development of it. But
too.
I haven't watched the rest of the season, so I don't know.
Oh, wow. You're in for a treat.
Speaking of chemistry.
Let's hope for rusty pipes.
Come grab some buns.
Excuse me?
Red bean buns. They have healing qualities. I thought you'd need them after the plumber gave you the news.
What news?
He didn't tell you?
No.
Have a bun.
Tell me what he said.
I want a fucking red bean bun.
Try a plum, it's better than sex. Walked, so have a bun could run. Shouts out, long time listener.
I need to see it written out. Yeah. Everybody loves May.
What's not to like? You like May? You into this character?
No, I do like her. I do like her a little bit. I feel at times she gets a little like, the newspaper man came down today.
Thank
to
you.
Tell me that, like,
I've been waiting for somebody to say it.
It's just a little
you
bit.
You could have said it.
Like,
just say it if you want to say it.
But I get it though, because like coming in as like a guest star on this show must be like really intimidating and like, I feel like you're like, okay, how do I match
what
this?
What if
like,
Sterling K. Brown felt that way? Oh, shit, I got it.
I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Well, I
your
feel like...
Your Sterling K. only gets better.
No, but she probably calibrated to this world. And...
Yeah, and it's just, it's like, how do you... Every character matches the tone in their own way, and like, that is such a, like... That's a high benchmark to be hitting with your thing. And so
I've always felt like Midge is too much that when she talks, you know, but it's like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Why would I say that?
It's everybody's favorite. It's definitely like an Amy Sherman Palladino's like favorite mood.
Yeah.
Favorite tone to strike.
And I'm sure that when you're like in the scene doing it and like I don't know how you don't just rant like you know, off each other when you're going back and forth, like just like
yeah, I'd be like,
how
you know
fast
what?
We go?
I'm gonna do this show, and I'm gonna be a little more subtle about. Here I am. She, I like a lot. And
she's
completely fucked up.
When I'm a med school student. Yeah. See, I'm gonna talk to the electrician. See,
yeah, that's right. I'm just here to give his girl Friday. Let me give 15 cents. Bye.
I think because of like the sort of like performative quality of those scenes, the chemistry takes a hit. Where I'm like, I wanted to see a little more.
I agree.
I wanted to see a little bit more softness, just a little bit more intimacy. But I get also that the May character's not that. Mm-hmm. I totally get that she's like, you know, poor Joel Maisel just can't help himself. Like, he needs to be, whipped. You know?
I actually feel like Midge and Joel's chemistry works for me because Midge is enough of a force to, like, quell some of
that.
His excessive, like, Joel's, when you tell, like, I feel like when you tell Michael Ziegen, like, okay, this is a romantic scene, he's like, got it. You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, no, like, reel it in, though, because he's so, like, meh.
Like, and romance.
I feel like May isn't a strong enough character yet to challenge that. She's definitely not tall enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just, like, over her, like, we're in romance time. And I just need a little bit of her to be like, all right, back off.
Like, it's almost like there's, like, the scenes get a little bit humorless.
Yeah.
Like, I just want, like, a little bit more. I mean, but again, I, like, for this is maybe a theme for me. Like, I need to be sold on the relationship or the rest of the episode, like, or it's canceled.
Oh.
Like, if I'm not sold on, like, I, there's nothing I hate more in movies and TV when they're like, look, they're in love because we said so.
Yeah, I get that.
Look at them be in love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you get like a fucking Luke Kirby.
Okay.
And, and then you're, and I'm fucking it.
Well,
oh, the Cuban bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and to your point, Anna is no joke, writhing on the couch
fully
right now.
Legs just akimbo.
Like, oh,
Luke Kirby.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. I mean, and it's a good point that you make, because if you're saying that the pace of those Mae-Joel scenes comes at the cost of some chemistry, that's what gives the Midge in Lenny Bruce scenes, because there is like space and it really does like get molassesly and slow
down. Are you
down.
Kidding me? Play the staring scene. Do you
and
have
important.
It?
Yes, we were talking about me, remember?
I do. What are you doing tonight?
Listening to you critique my act.
I have a proposition for you. I have a work thing I have to do, but I was thinking, tag along, you might find it interesting.
Could I work it into my act? The one you liked or didn't like?
Afterward, I'll buy you dinner. Deal?
Deal.
You ready to go?
I have to change. 10 minutes. And then you'll tell me what you thought about my act.
Depends on how good the outfit is.
This right here.
I love that line.
Walk away.
Why do we see how you make
okay,
that?
Okay, the other hot, the like for some reason so sexy to me. I like to be condescended to. It has to do with
really.
It has to do with Anna splaining.
Oh, you like that? Oh, that's something you like.
When someone
to be talked down to
be treated like a child
cute.
Sometimes.
Oh, okay. Oh, is your mom here? Is she gonna pick you up after the podcast, Anna?
Leaning
I was
into
seeing
it a little
this.
Bit.
I was seeing this guy, and he was like, "You need to learn." He was like judging the way I tie my shoes. He was like, "You need to learn how to tie your shoes." I was
ew.
Like, "You're so hot to me."
That is
really
you're so hot to me. So when
oh,
so
boy.
Two things.
I don't
so one
to do.
So when Luke Kirby he says that he goes, "I'll feed you in an hour." That one so hot to me.
Yeah,
that line is so hot.
That's,
to me.
Well, that's like that's like Dom stuff.
Yeah, and but then, I think that needs like to be fully predicated on a foundation of like trust and I care about you and have a lot of respect before you.
They've
do,
known
like,
each other for so long.
Yes, that's
and
what I mean.
The other part that I love is he goes, "What is on your hands?" And she's like, "Frosting." Dude, when he's like pulling her in, he goes, "What is on your hands?"
Frosting. I like it. Yeah, he's
they
a
love
match.
Each other.
So hot.
They love it. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is, I'm going to say it, gang, it's a product I actually use. I've been using it for 10 years now. I've made every single website I've made in the last decade using Squarespace, because Squarespace actually has everything I need. If you want to start a completely personalized website with a new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint is your answer. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can do so much with Squarespace, like email campaigns for outreach. You can have analytics to find out who's visiting your website and why. And you can have eShop e-commerce functionality. I used that when I was doing my little bake shop on there for a while. I stopped doing it, but man, the website I had for a little bit looked really good because I used Squarespace. And there's so much I didn't know about setting up my shop that they were able to answer for me over the chat and their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So right now, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, let's talk about your social battery. What is it right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why is it at the level it's at? There's all these external factors that can make it the way it is. Maybe you're less social during certain seasons. Maybe you're experiencing a lack of boundaries with certain people that's making it more drained than it needs to be. Well, either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for 11 years now, and it has been vital and crucial for figuring out how to not overexert myself socially, to keep my battery at a good charge, to not keep it too drained when I'm dealing with all the people that I actually want to be dealing with and not dealing with people in the way that I don't want to be, which is, of course, due to a lack of good boundaries or how to cope with people. And you learn how to do those things with therapy, because therapy gives you the tools to tune in to yourself and understand, oh, I need this. I don't need this. I need to communicate this. I need to say this. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys. And then, of course, maybe the second hottest scene in this episode is...
Ethan Maisel, where are you? Ethan! Ethan Shimon Maisel!
Dude, how could I just even kidding. Possibly care about this scene?
What a joke. I mean, like, should we just put a moratorium on parent stuff on, yeah. on the Marvelous
what,
Mrs.
What is
Maisel
that?
Boys
they lose
podcast?
Him? He well, runs away or something? I can't even remember.
Who cares?
Who
but
cares?
They get fed up and then they go to Florida. That's all you need to know
yeah,
for this episode.
Exactly.
The Weissmans go to Florida.
Ethan Maisel,
after a bunch of shenanigans in an Amy episode, I will say. 24 hours later, they're in Florida. They see Midge as she walks down. There is another long, almost like USO style, like, oh, we're just going to do the whole song
yep.
scene where.
There's a couple of them in this.
Where the guy playing Shy Baldwin just lip syncs, and the lip syncing isn't that great.
Yeah. It's because you need to actually like know how to sing to know how to
lip sync. And he's not like close enough to the mic that it's like...
Here's like, one that I did like them doing the entire...
Which one?
The entire song for...
The Cuban Club.
Oh because yeah, because that's not even the thing.
I also love that they're in... This is something I liked about them trying whenever they try to incorporate like cultural... like touch points. Yeah, like they're in Miami. So at this point, we have seen very little Latinx culture in Miami from the standpoint of like this show. It's just basically mm-hmm. like, you know, women doing the can-can or whatever. And now this is cool. We get to see like, oh, an actual like, you know, Cuban club where there's singing in a different language. And yeah.
This is an evolution I hope happens in period shows eventually, is that we don't need them to be racially historically accurate. I get if you're telling like a specific historical story, but like Marie, like a diverse Marie Antoinette, I would love
right.
to see, like,
well, because the reality is that we don't, like, most people's white perspective has a blind spot towards. We think that, for instance, the suffragette movement was like mostly white women,
right.
when it really wasn't.
Right.
Like, there's not, there's a lot of just throughout any point in history, there's like
it's the people who were writing yeah. the history books were white people.
Pre-slave trade, like there was African like people who are like royally.
There was
kings tutors. And queens that would travel around and were like respected members of whatever society they were. I mean, there's not at all like, you know, there's no all white history that we like to think about that, you know, like, but there wasn't, everyone is white, right?
But what's interesting
really.
About all of these shows that are like period shows, Mindhunter did this in their second season as well, right? Is they made a show based on serial killers in the 70s, like. Can mm-hmm. you pick a fucking whiter, mm-hmm. maler cast? Like,
right, right.
The whole first season is all white men. Mm-hmm. So then the second season, they're like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, these shows do make an effort to, like,
yeah.
include other, to make it more diverse
right,
in
right.
the second season. Seek out diverse stories
yeah.
and stuff
like that.
And
they're
like
what if we had a white savior? It's like, okay, well. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, like, yeah. this is my pitch on The Resident. You remember the show The Resident?
Mm-mm.
The Resident? Is this
no,
the,
is this getting,
Matt, wait, is this the, Matt Zuckery?
It's the intern, basically, that's, like, telling people how to... He's
yeah.
like, he's like, that's not how I do things in the medical
Wait,
system.
Wait, The Resident is the show starring, you know,
Shut up.
Resident Logan.
I love Matt Zuckery.
Yeah.
I love Matt Zuckery. Oh
what
my God.
What a handsome
oh.
man. Don't.
Sorry.
Kevin, it's okay if Alice orgasms on the podcast.
But look at
Matt
Zuckery. Oh my God. He's like the hottest guy in the world.
But all I was going to say. All I was going to say about The Resident was that it's a show. They're like, okay, we have a white male lead, so we better diverse up the cast. Well, the whole plot of the show is the male lead telling everyone else how to behave and what to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, all you did
was
do diverse
Powers.
Cast.
Yeah. They keep saying, oh, behave. What a hottie. Good grief.
Let me see. So yeah.
I'm glad those boys aged so well.
Yeah.
Him and Milo thriving.
Yummy.
Thriving.
And Jared.
Out here thriving.
Shout out.
You love to see it.
Yeah, I do.
You love to see it. Good the Zuckery boys.
He's 42 years old.
Fuck him.
Oh my God.
Ew, he's canceled.
Never mind. He's actually canceled.
No, I just mean like he's playing
Milo.
A 19-year-old on that show.
I know.
Or, you know what I mean?
I know.
That's insane.
Yeah, but that was like 20 years ago too.
And I'm playing 12 still. So
yeah,
it's
Goo
true.
Goo Gaga.
Yeah, and I'm in my late
26?
Teens.
Don't out me.
Let's keep talking about chemistry, guys.
Oh boy.
Ah, there you are.
Oh my God.
Lenny.
I'm getting too horny.
Looks like
yeah.
we have
We're
one.
Slipping and sliding.
It's time everybody knows, don't you think?
We should set up the hornometer.
Outer things.
What is on your hands?
Frosting.
Other hand.
Oh, he's back.
Like
well,
that,
who are we here?
Bri, I'd like you to meet my wife, or possibly my sister. What are you, my wife or my sister?
Depends on what state we're in.
Let's go wife. What the hell?
Well, it's nice to meet you, whoever you are.
It's nice to meet you, too.
She's a very big fan. She called in sick to work tonight just to be here.
Oh, what do you do?
I'm a Mountie.
Yes, she's very good with horses.
And moose.
And squirrel.
Female Mountie. I didn't know there were female.
This feels like such an ideal
date
to go on with a
Mounties.
Friend that you've known
so
for a long time.
So how long have you two been married and or
Where
related?
It's like they have a gig and you're there to like support them and then like be in the background and then they get you involved somehow and then they're like playing along with you and doing bits and whatnot.
So fun.
What a sweetie. What a sweet little thing.
I'm just distracted by that Tennessee Williams thing. It's indicative of one of my main problems with the show, which is that like we don't know what's a bit and what's not a bit mm-hmm.
well,
and what's
also,
like a parody of the time and what's part of it.
My
you know I mean?
That's the thing is I'm like, I don't know who could yeah. possibly know enough about the 50s and 60s to do this. Like,
right.
I'm like, I need to have like a... Like there's
you
like
you have like a little Wikipedia page open at all times.
Yeah, 25% of the show is just like, wait, is this a real thing that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Making fun of a real thing that happened?
Right.
Like just something that like an extension of what the time was like. That is,
it's what
like
are they
invented.
Smoking? Yeah, because it's like it takes me out of it because it makes me think about the writers' room and Amy and Dan being like, and then this happens, and I'm like, why?
What do you mean?
Like they're going, okay, and they've got to do the Tennessee Williams bit. And oh, yeah, but they got to do the Tennessee Williams. And everybody at home is going, we don't know what inside joke you're talking about. You know what I mean?
We
it
don't
feels
know
like
what
we're
this
watching
is.
Inside jokes about Amy and Dan's marriage. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you've fully gone up both of their collective buttholes
right,
in
okay.
this show. And
that's all I'm trying to say.
And you're exploring their heads and minds.
That's all
I guess the
say.
Thing is, I just trust that there is an explanation that
mm-hmm.
someone more intensely into this time period and or show and or writers has the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trusting.
The answer to the question of like, what is the case with the Tennessee
Williams
thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
like,
I mean,
there is a case. Like that if I called Amy Sherman-Palladino and I was like, tell me the Tennessee Williams. She'd be like, this episode of the Hugh Hefner show where they had blah, 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 blah.
Right, but my argument for it always is like, why not treat your audience as though like
they're included
yeah. and like why not treat everything
no, I think people I think
why
audiences
try
like
to be
that.
Why
because
try to be smarter
the
than
one the
audience.
Ones who get like, it get it so much and it resonates with them so deeply so I feel like that is a way to
also
that
show
I feel like that they don't ASV doesn't I feel like they don't always do it successfully in a way where, like, for instance, like if you're watching Picard, there's moments where there's shout outs to this Trek universe
mm-hmm.
that I, as a Trek fan, I'm going, yes, yes, yes. But if you're not a Trek fan, you're going,
But that's the point. It's for you as a Trek fan.
Yeah, like, but if you're not a Trek fan, you're going, like, that's interesting. I want to know more about it. And I don't feel like when I'm watching an ASP show, if I see something that's like a deep cut reference, sometimes I'm like, oh, I know more about it. And sometimes I'm like, ugh.
So you're saying one of the Palladino's keywords isn't inclusiveness.
It's like theater group. It's like when you hang out with theater people and they have these. This is something. Okay.
Yes, they're theater kids. They have such theater kid energy.
I don't know who it was
shows.
Talking to me about this. They were like, I thought all these theater people I was hanging out with were like so funny, and I just wanted to know about their jokes and their world. And then when I finally figured out all that they were talking about, I was like, oh, it's not funny. It's just references to things that they get and other people don't get. That's giving them sort of. They're getting off on the fact that
but
other people don't get it.
Every culture of anything.
No, I don't think so. I think there's generally like.
You don't think so?
No.
I think every culture gets insular and gets like.
Yeah, you're sure, like, but look at how much I know about video games. Like, look at how much I know about, you know what I mean? Like, this world.
I think them saying Tennessee Williams Rose Tattoo is for some people and some like Upper East Side sort of kind of group or like a theater major's version of I'm in a glass case of emotion. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is an equivalent of like, yeah.
Here's why I think it's okay. It's because there's tears. There's tears of inside joke.
Tears of heaven.
There's T-I-E.
Fears.
Because there's tears. Because I'm crying right now.
Yeah.
And I wish we weren't fighting.
There's tears.
No, that there's like, there's levels of like, everyone gets this joke. 75% of the people get this joke. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, okay. And lower and lower until it's like 5% of people on the Upper East Side.
I don't see it as an alienating experience, even for the stuff that I don't get. Because, like, yeah, of what I'm saying.
Well, I am an alien. Like,
there's different points of access for people, and even if we can't get to all of them.
You're not an alien.
As
you're
coastal Yangin. Elites in Los
and
Angeles,
I don't want
California.
You to forget where you came from.
Thank you. I want to be. Oh shit!
Oh, Anna! Oh my God, Anna!
That is the biggest banana.
What the hell, Anna? Just for the listener at home, Anna just whipped out a huge banana, and I don't know what she's gonna. Oh my God! What the heck, Anna?
I'm so hungry.
I thought it was a horniness thing.
I have yogurt too, but I don't have a spoon.
There's one downstairs.
No spoon needed.
Yeah, just lap it up like a little pup.
Oh, it's so good. This is worth it to me. Yeah. This scene is worth it.
This is like a weird. This is so not the pace of a show we've seen them do before.
Because
it's so dreamy. Like, you know, this is like the positive side of the nightmare of Falls extended across the universe Beatles scene that turned into the tango.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, we're just, it's fully a musical. But this is like, okay.
Wait, what was that? I don't remember that.
So this was in Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
whole
I don't know
different
that is.
Situation.
Oh, okay. I was like, there's an across the universe sequence in this.
I barely
amazing.
Remember it myself. Mm. But
Gilmore Girls, Colonoscopy.
I'll watch that.
What? How had we never said that before?
If you make that, I'll
Thank
watch
you.
That.
Exactly. I feel like that's that episode.
But when they Logo slow it more, down maybe. On this show.
When they slow it down, I mean, they
this,
really slow it down.
The following scene.
Whew. Everything about it.
Is.
Do I have a hair out of place?
We took it down to.
I didn't know how to tell you.
God damn it.
His face!
He is. Okay, listen, this is, remember what Phoebe Waller-Bridge said about Sexy Priest?
Okay, pause it, I want to know.
Do you remember what she said about Sexy Priest?
What's
which
that?
Was like, she was like, we cannot believe this priest caused such a hornstorm. A hornstorm, if you can imagine a British person saying that word, disgusting. And she was like, I think that it's, all he's doing is listening. He's just actively listening.
Yeah, there's a writer named Alana Bennett who's really great on Twitter, and she... I think this was her take. She tweeted out, the key to like rom-com stuff or being a good romantic lead is your ability to look at the person.
Yeah.
It's actually just that. It's like, yeah, it's chemistry, dialogue, all that stuff. But like, if you can look well at another person and share that space with them.
That might be why Henry Golding had no chemistry with Michelle Yeoh, because Michelle Yeoh is so difficult to
Constance
work with.
Wu.
Constance Wu. God damn it. Michelle Yeoh, he did have a lot of chemistry with.
Actually.
And it's like, yo, dude, that's your mom. And he's like, I want to fuck my mom.
Are we talking about Crazy Rich Asians?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where Henry Golding had chemistry with like a potted plant. And then Constance Wu came in and it was like,
did you hear
like,
they're doing
happening?
Like a gritty reboot of Harry Potter starring Henry Golding?
Stop.
It's called Crazy Witch Asians.
Nice.
Kevin, I need you to, I'd like you to leave.
Put in a sound effect of somebody like going downstairs, getting in a car and driving away.
I'd like you to leave. Okay, this, right?
Anna's staring at Alice, reenacting the staring chemistry. Scene.
Okay, so I'm going to be like, so that's where I was born. You want to know anything more?
Tell me everything.
Oh my God. Kevin, leave your buckle done.
Right. Sorry, wait, what happened? I left my body for a second.
Women kissing.
Oh, I mixed up the body position. He's slightly back. It's like this.
So are you.
You're staring.
Come on.
Oh my God, I will go anywhere with you, you stupid whore.
Oh, fuck. And then they dance to this. Well, the
find out.
What is it? Is it from Music Man? Who wrote it first? The Beatles? Music Man?
Oh, wait, let's...
There were birds all around.
That's,
But I never saw them.
There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them.
I don't remember. It's I need
from,
to know.
It's from Music Man, but
it's,
I can't
it's
remember.
It's Till There Was You, and it is from Music Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And this is a...
ding, 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 ding.
It was written by Meredith Wilson in 1957. And this shit, this is the sexiest thing they've ever done on any show they've ever had, right?
How tall do you think he is? I think he's tall.
Funny to say.
I don't know. Probably not, right?
How much does that resonate with you guys, that line?
What?
I just can't think of anything funny to say.
Me oh, either. God, nice. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, isn't it? That feels good, right? And there were
wonderful roses. Doesn't really resonate with me because that's never happened to me, but yeah.
Oh, my God, Alice.
I can see it for her. And
I can see it for pedestrians
yeah,
and normals and the flyovers.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, if you're from like a Midwestern.
Ohio, yeah. Well, I can't think of anything.
You guys know I'm from like, Iowa, right?
Yes. I'm also from Minnesota.
Okay. And I'm from Texas.
Never heard of it.
Kevin, you're canceled.
I probably, but not for that, for other stuff.
Why don't they have sex? Really,
you know who else is from Texas?
I don't
Beto.
Know.
Why doesn't she go in there?
No,
speaking
guys.
Speaking of sex.
No.
I was like, you guys built up the only time we actually want to see her fuck in this whole thing.
Totally.
And then you fucking pulled out.
No. Oh we have to watch the whole scene and play it from that part. They're outside his hotel room. They're staring at the bed.
So what did you think of my act?
I thought it was sensational.
Did he?
Thank you.
Yes, he did. I don't think he's lying. But I think his judgment's clouded.
I'm going to get a cab.
I can get you one.
I'm okay. Catch.
Now the dress.
But listen to these lines.
She was just like, she throws a shoe at him.
Hey.
Just wanted to get another look at you.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking.
Maybe someday. Before I'm dead.
Now.
It's a date.
Okay.
So, all right, okay. Thank you. We get it.
I can't, and I won't.
It's not even a foreshadowing. It's a foredrawing.
So this is 1960. Lenny Bruce died in 1966. So
we got 6 years
on a slurpener yogurt. Do you hear it? They got a 6-year deadline, essentially.
Yeah, for them to phone.
Do you think that was just like? Do you think it was written in reference to, like, and we all know he died, right? Like, that he died at a young
Kevin, I'll be honest.
Age.
What you're saying to me right now is the first time I've ever heard that Lenny Bruce was a real person.
Uh-oh.
Are you serious?
Wow.
She was homeschooled.
Okay. All right. I accept it.
How I want Alice
She has
to,
a medical degree. I don't...
Alice explain
She's a
who
doctor.
Lenny Bruce is to...
Hey,
Anna.
I am way too focused on nurses and scalpels to know who Lenny Bruce is.
Basically, Lenny Bruce is the person that they're telling you he is. The everything that they've
except he was disgusting. Look, no, I shouldn't
he
say
he was
that.
Not.
He was not as attractive as this.
No. Nobody is, and ever has been, or
no.
ever will.
No.
But
can you imagine a life story
Luke
being played out by
Kirby
someone of actual
feet.
Hotness?
Like
a slightly normal to ugly looking person playing the historic.
Like if Drew Barrymore played me. Just kidding.
Yeah. It's exactly what I meant. That's what I meant.
Okay. I think they can't sleep together. It's hot that they don't sleep together. This is the answer to the question, what if Luke and Lorelai had never gotten together? What if Jim and Pam? What if Sam and Diane? And it's like undeniable chemistry. They probably didn't expect this when they cast Luke Kirby in season one. They're like, this guy looks like Lenny Bruce. He's a really good actor. They didn't expect them to be hot for each other.
Yeah, but they know now, and if they don't do the right thing, it's a crime.
It's not going to happen.
It's despicable.
I think they went on record in an interview saying they are not getting together.
Then like, I ever. Will not be watching the show anymore, because you can't take me that close and then just be like, you know, and it just didn't work out for whatever we were doing, so we're going to move on to
guys, others. No, this is the poetry of it. This
if
is why
I
this is the best episode of the season.
6 hours of the parents' relationship.
Well, that's not
with
great.
Absolutely yeah, no Luke Kirby payoff. Sorry, I go from very quiet to like so loud.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, it's true. They torture us with the parents too much.
That's called edging. They're edging you up to Luke Kirby.
Yeah, but if you, Kevin, imagine if you only edged your whole life and then
imagine.
You
died. Oh yeah, imagine.
Yeah, hard to imagine, but yeah. That's my experience exact experience.
Different from my actual experience.
Imagine like pretend. Oh, of course I can.
Sure, let me just get in the pen.
Oh, yeah, it's a thought exercise for me.
I can imagine that
me.
It might be something like my every single day.
No, they can't get together. Come on, you're with me on this, Alice. They can't get together. This is
they're
so good.
They're not going
to
do that to us.
And the kind of
yeah, I kind of see that. Like it would be a yeah, because where do they go? Yeah, it's like where do they go afterwards?
This
right?
is the last. This has to be like one of the last.
That's fine. Yeah. Do it at the end.
It's the last episode as they get together.
Yeah.
They can Inglourious Bastards it, and in this version, Lenny Bruce lives, and they have a family together or whatever.
I didn't see Inglourious Bastards, but it sounds like you just ruined it for me.
Well, Hitler, who's a real person...
lives in Inglourious Bastards?
No, but he dies in a different way.
I don't know. I feel like we could get closer to getting together than they have. This whole thing by the... like, no kiss even?
I
like,
hated it.
It's just not
I
even
hated it.
A real reason to be interrupted, like... I don't know. It just seems like they could get, I don't know. It's just they could structure it better, maybe. I don't know.
But also,
I'm between. I want to be between.
There's like a lovely thing about like, obviously power dynamics in comedy from the beginning have been abused and men in positions of power preying upon women and women within the industry.
Kevin, stop.
What?
You saw the scene before. That is chemistry.
Yes.
The thing, like,
but
if
I'm
you
saying,
try to
Kevin,
compare it to, like,
stop.
Kevin, stop.
No, but I'm saying.
Stop.
What you're doing is violence.
Stop. Oh because here's the problem. One of the problems with, like, abuse of power, right, is, like,
podcast hosts deciding.
Oh, my God.
Is, like, it's just, like, on a fundamental level, like, not being able to read the room, right? Like, if you can't tell if a girl's into you or not, like, if you can't tell if there's chemistry or not, go to a class, watch some YouTube videos maybe.
Wow.
Like, get read up on chemistry because, like, if it's there, then you'll know it's there. And it's fucking there. So by being like, there's power dynamics, like, ugh, fuck power dynamics. That chemistry is palpable and they feel it and we all feel it.
Okay, but I will say maybe it's from the perspective of a Midge as opposed to, he's like...
If
he's
Midge
not willing to go there if
she's
not willing
wet yeah. for this whole scene.
It would be cool to see Midge have agency over her sexuality here and be like, yeah, I'm going to fucking go for it. This is the shit that I want to do.
Yeah, and she's the one that says, I'm going to call a cab, though. So she's fully in control
so it's
of
like,
the situation.
Yeah, but it's like... She's
but
taking
like,
the like
why?
Easy way. She's taking the lady like I mean I don't know. It's I'm fucking 50-50.
The way I'm perceiving it too is that she's now in his eyes whether like blah blah blah. I know we don't laugh at the jokes on the show whatever. But like they're at a peerdom now or he's regarding her more in a peerdom way rather than like here's how stand up works. It's like he's seen her open for Shai Baldwin and say, "Oh, your act is sensational." So now he's seen her less as like, "Oh, some weird lady that was at the Gaslight," and now like a peer and a coworker. So it's almost like would you laugh at someone or would you sleep with someone? Weird that I mixed those two words up. Would you sleep with someone who's like a coworker? And even though it's like not wrong and it's not like a violation, but it's like, ooh, this could complicate the workplace. But this is just like in the culture of stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that all the mistakes Midge makes, she remarries Joel. She gets drunk. It's just like, this is, she can't make this mistake.
Why can't you make this mistake?
Yeah. Why can't you all let her have this?
And like, by why her, does she... Anna does mean
me. Mm-hmm. She means Anna.
Me. Ooh. She's spread eagling again. Oh my God.
Yeah. She's flying through the room. Okay.
I love the melancholy. I don't know. I'm a sucker for these endings. The endings
a
are
kiss?
Like, they're so good for each other, but they're not right for each other.
Podcast plug that isn't this podcast, Thirst Aid Kit.
Have you heard of Thirst Aid Kit? Yes,
this funny. Would be a great fanfic for Thirst Aid Kit. It's like a.
I'll write this.
You haven't listened to Thirst Aid Kit?
Am I going
to
love it?
Oh, Anna. Oh, I'm
honey,
jealous of you.
Anna.
It's basically all about like being a desirous woman. Being horny, getting into like having crushes, talking about crushes, why
I love it.
And yet I pitched one to HeadGum about ladies over 45 and they would not buy it.
Really? You did?
No.
That's funny.
But it sounds like something I would do.
Yeah.
I do have a list of Kevin's women, which are women over 45.
Kevin's women.
That I have all the love and admiration and respect for, but also would smash.
This, the theme song is like, Kevin's women.
It's like, it's some diva's last.
Yeah.
It's like her farewell song, her curtain
Welcome
call.
Welcome to the only destination.
Oh, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can actually listen to this. Like, it. I think it's gonna make me angry.
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna be too horny.
No, like, it's amazing. Ugh. It's so wonderful. Ugh. They're so, like, I love that the way they. Ugh. They're just like so loving with each other. It's amazing.
Guys, you ready for some Twitter Q&A?
Tweet, tweet.
Sloan asked, "How blue were your balls at the end of the episode?"
I grew balls. They became blue.
Louis says, is there anything hotter than when Lenny laughs at Mitch's jokes?
Yes.
I love, like, there's nothing more erotic to me than someone who thinks I'm funny. How fucking terrible and narcissistic is that?
That's fair, though, because that's someone valuing you as a whole person rather than just aesthetics.
Yeah, I think there is something more erotic when he just stares at her. That's the hotter thing.
That's so hot.
Yes. Sorry to contradict this nice person just being like, is there anything hotter? And I'm like, yes, there is,
there
asshole.
There is. And it's actually a man saying and doing nothing.
Yeah, that's true. The hottest version.
It sounds like a friend of mine who has a pretty successful marriage. Jessica asks, so Susie's passing on money through the episode is definitely a repeat Paladinoism of Paris handing out money and girls in bikinis and boys doing the twist. When she's like, remember the face, remember the face, remember the face. This is exactly what Paris does when they go on spring break.
Yeah.
Hey, also, doesn't she say, like, big mistake, huge? Doesn't she say something like that?
No, they all want to rescue people. It's such a coastal elite snobby attitude of, like, they want to rescue everyone from, like, working there. So I think she said big mistake to the fact that they're competent people working in Florida.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Cheyenne says, would Lenny like to be pegged? Please discuss.
Would Lenny like to be pegged? No, he's a top.
He is a top,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I think Joel would like to be pegged.
Joel would love to be pegged. Mm. Lenny has BDE.
But Joel's going to rage against being pegged and then finally accept
it. Yeah.
No spoilies.
Taryn says, do you think Lenny has been pining after her or is he just an opportunist in the moment?
Oh, damn. I don't care.
What a nice... Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Man, I feel like such a prude or like a little Puritan for being like, I like that they didn't sleep together.
Well, that's something you should reflect on.
Well,
Kevin, you should feel judged and you should change.
Feel judged, then change. That's the order of the actions you should take.
Beautiful.
Shame on Twitter.com. It works. People slide into your DMs, not jerks. They say you screwed up. They say do better. You don't get hard and you don't get wetter. You should feel bad and change. Feel
wow.
judged and change.
This is a musical. This is like a full Ryan Murphy.
That was nice until then.
Sorry.
All right. Great app, guys. Fun app. Fun times.
Fun.
Horny episode.
Horn.
My favorite episode of the season thus far, right? Like by far.
No, yeah. There was less Rose and Abe in it, and Rose and Abe took a turn, so that's good. Like, they got out of their weird escape. Like, I would say, like, the reason episodes have, like, gotten a worse grade for me this season is because of the Rose and Abe story has taken it down several notches.
Abe's arc in this season is a sine wave.
Go to Cuba. Camp out in front of his house. God.
Yeah, and then I think we're done with the beatniks after this. He finally says farewell to them in this episode. Thank God. Anna, thank you so much for joining us
today, buddy.
Finally, you've come back to us.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Paladino.
We'll see you again in 6 years on this feed.
Great.
People can follow you at
Anna, A-N-N-A underscore L-O-R-E. I'm only on Instagram.
Only on Instagram, no tweets.
Instagram only.
All right. Oh, you're missing some fun memes. I'll send them to you.
Oh, thank you, baby.
You're welcome, queen.
Thank you, baby.
Follow Alice at Alice Wareland. Follow me. You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter everywhere, and we'll go out with the song that the show goes out on in this episode, dedicated to the one I love. Let this score your horniest, most erotic moments of pining and longing, the Lennies and the Midges in your life that you wish would just smash, but for some reason or another.
Did you hear the way he said Lenny right there? Did you hear it was
Lingy.
Lenny.
Did I say
Lenny?
Lenny? Wait, what? Did I have a bad accent?
Like Laura Lenny.
Not on Kevin's women list.
Really?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's really strange.
That just bugs me.
Kevin's women list is something you're just subtly advertising throughout.
Hey, Kevin, if you showed me that picture that you just showed me of you with a beard and said that guy has a women's list, I would call the FBI.
No, it's about respect and honor. It's celebrating age and beauty and maturity and also
age.
Wood smash.
The ravages of age.
Kevin's women's
list.
Alice, we should make a blood pact right now that neither of us are going to get old.
What?
Hey,
how?
I'm in my late teens, and that's where I've been for the last 20 years. All
right, we'll see you next week on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Guys, goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.